Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey guys, it's Gwen Flamberg, and you're listening to Glam Squad Confidential. Of course, I would be nowhere. I mean, I would be grounded if I did not have my co-pilot on the beauty plane, Mr. Travis Cronin, on the mic.
Well, thank you for trusting me with this confidential information, Gwen.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I am grounded, like spiritually grounded. I don't want anybody to think otherwise, right?
Yeah, for sure. Spiritual only.
But, you know, it was hard to kind of like have my feet on earth when I watched all of the photos coming out of Cannes. The 75th annual Cannes Film Festival was just these past 2 weeks. And like, I mean, Travis, I'm just not used to seeing that level of glamour. Are you?
No, a lot of cupcake gowns, a lot of princess cupcakes going on there. Lots of royalty thing. But I just keep thinking of Adriana Lima's baby bump too. I mean, that was like one of my favorite moments.
And then there was a second celebrity who wore like a bump bearing dress.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was in this moment, but like, thanks, Rihanna. Evidently, that's the thing.
Yes, bumps and bikinis. It's trending.
I mean, hey, nothing wrong with loving your body in any way that it is. But, you know, for me, Trav, it was, you know, the dresses were amazing, of course, and super glamorous. But for me, it's always about the hair and the makeup. And I feel like Cannes just ushered in this, like, this moment of glamour that everybody was missing.
Agreed. Well, Cannes, there's just no other red carpet like it. It is supermodels in like Altier, couture, the haute of it all. It is like, you know, the biggest fashion-y stage, because even at an event like the Queen's Jubilee that would be more fancy, they're not as fashion forward. So this is really the one.
Totally. Well, you know, without further ado, I think that we should welcome our special guest today, because obviously there's a Cannes connection. And once we've got him in the mix here, you know, you guys can talk about like all the good times at Cannes, because you've been several times and I always love hearing your stories. But without further ado, guys, this is one of Hollywood's hottest hairstylists. He works with Julianne Moore, Natasha Lyonne. Like, Travis, maybe he's partial to redheads like us.
Bless.
But he was just in Cannes, you know, doing his thing. And I can't wait to welcome Mr. Marcus Francis.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. This is very exciting. It's my first podcast, actually.
How is it your first podcast? How is this? It's because you're always so busy, Marcus. So, like, you never have
any time,
but, like, you are one of my favorite hairstylists because you always have like an amazing quote, a tight quote. Like, you are someone who, by the way, should be on podcasts all the time.
You know what? That's my journalism background from college and stuff. So I think it's like, get to the point, tell the people what they need to hear. Don't add too many words. But I feel like I'm walking into this podcast being like, get to the point, get the goods out.
Well, you know, honestly, our little old Glam Squad Confidential podcast is really just about celebrating the hairstylists, the makeup artists, the manicurists, the facialists of Hollywood. Like, you know, really the magic behind the scenes. When we look at those images, like, you know, just every single day during these 2 weeks of the Cannes Film Festival, every single day you look at those red carpet photos that are coming out of the night before. And I think that what a lot of people don't realize is that it takes a village to create that look that hits the radar, that is like so, it's beyond glamour. You know, at Us Weekly, we dabble in reality. You know, we do all the things, but you know, like something like Khan, it's even beyond, you know, like this is not reality.
No, it's super elevated. It's
don't come here if you're looking for, you know, quote unquote reality, even fake reality, like, you know, the Kardashians on Hulu, not calling anybody out. I love it. But, you know, this is like real high glamour. So first of all, tell us, like, do you always go to Cannes? Was this your first time? Was this your eighth time? What was it?
Girl, this was, brace yourself, my 13th time.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. I took obviously 2 years off with the pandemic, and then I took 1 year off because I was like, I'm not gonna go because I'm just so tired of going that far and the jet lag kills me. And then here I am and I keep going. So I really, over the span of 16 years, I've gone 13 out of the 16.
Wow.
And so it obviously it has a special place in my heart. You know, I actually first went there I was an assistant. And I wanted to start building my portfolio. There was no Instagram back then. That just aged me right there. So there was no Instagram. And so you had to build your book. And I was like, well, shit. Oh, shoot. Sorry. could really give your portfolio and your red carpet like such an elevated, high glamour appeal to it. Even if it's just a simple blowout because it's on the red carpet at Cannes, it's just like, it's so prestigious. And it's coveted. And, you know, not every actor or actress, pop singer, model, whatever now gets to go to this. So this was, you know, I feel very lucky as a hairstylist to be asked by my clients, and new and old, to be a part of it. It says something about like the trust level and the execution and everything, the stakes are much higher. And it's kind of, you know, pushes you to your own ability to the next level too. You know, if you're just complacent, then I think that doesn't do anybody any good in the art world. So to be pushed is really exciting.
Oh, that's so awesome. So now you were in company with Julianne Moore. Did you do anybody else or was it just Julianne?
I did Riley Keough.
Oh, I love her too.
Yeah. So I did her for one of her press days and it was my first time actually ever working with her and meeting her. And she kind of exceeded my expectations. I thought she was just super chill, very cool, very supportive and sweet. And you're like, okay, I can't ask for anything else. So to have those girls, and I did some private clients as well. It was such a beautiful, short, but abbreviated and a perfect way kind of trip. Sometimes I've been there for the full 2 weeks and that's wonderful. But I think me coming out of the gates after taking 2 years off, it was a nice re-entry taking just a nice 5-7 days and making it my Cannes experience for 2022.
Oh my God. In that incredible locale.
Yeah. It was wonderful. And you know, I did Julianne for, oh gosh, I did her for 3 looks, 2 red carpets. And you know, she's kind of like, everyone says, oh, so-and-so is the queen of Cannes. I truly am partial to Julianne being the queen of Cannes. There is just, you know, she's so like, modern, but regal, cool, but elegant. And she dazzles. She just dazzles in the south of France on that carpet. And she doesn't look unapproachable. She just looks so effortlessly happy and beautiful. And, you know, I think that's why people call her the Queen of Cannes. At least that's why I call her that.
I love that title for her. It's like Vanessa Hudgens has Coachella, Julianne Moore has Cannes. And I mean, there's nobody who looks better in Bulgari than Julianne Moore too, right?
I mean, yeah. And she just makes everyone want some sort of piece of Bulgari. If they could, they should. Yes.
So, you know, doing 3 looks, 2 high red carpets and 1 other look, for Cannes, is this something where the team is in contact before you get to France? Or like, when do you guys start thinking, what are we going to do? Because I'm sure when it's something like this, where the cameras are on the Queen of Cannes at every appearance, like you want to make sure that each look is going to be different. Each look is going to stand out. So is it something that you look at as a totality of the whole three events during this one big event? Or like, how do you guys approach that process?
I mean, for me personally, I've worked with Julianne for 10 years. So I have my Julianne Pinterest board. I have my Julianne Instagram folder. Like, I have all the things that I think that I would aspire to do on her or that she would respond to. I mean, I'm not going to pick something that over the course of 10 years, I know very well that she would just like from afar, but not to have on her head. So, you know, I try to keep it interesting. I try to evolve it little by little. But if I don't necessarily know per se what her gown is or, you know, what the weather is going to be like is another thing. Because if that weather forecast is changing a few times up before I leave for that trip, then it's sort of like, okay, if it's super humid and rainy, but then one day it's next, I have to have in my back pocket an updo or something down or something contained in down. So I have those things in my back pocket. But like, for instance, this trip, I didn't know the dresses until when I got there. So that's when I resorted to my folder. To go back to Met Gala, like I knew her dress a week ahead of time and I started to play a few looks building up to that. And then, you know, she and I texted back and forth and I would show her a few images and then I would not overkill the conversation because I feel like in person, you can add a few more isms, a few more extra words and say, no, it doesn't have to be literal. This is where I was thinking you would start to place the hair as you're talking about it, rather than just looking at a photo of, you know, a 15-year-old model, and it doesn't really apply to you. So with this, I just had a few looks that I wanted to try on her that I know that we've done before. And I am a very big person of, let's keep it interesting. Let's have each photo be its own moment.
Yeah.
I like to get as much out of her and I and can and get a few different images. And I know that some actors and some actresses really, you know, like an Angelina Jolie, she kind of stays in her blowout world, which is great and it works for her. But there are some people like back to the Vanessa Hudgens of it all. They will change the hair every time they step out the door.
Yeah.
So I kind of have to think about my client and what she would be up for.
Right.
So I know Julianne is up for a difference, but not like, let's start from scratch, like a wet look down to, you know, a high pony kind of thing, you know, like.
Right.
Less time in the touch-up chair.
I mean, the cool thing about Julianne is that, like, she is a hair icon, right? Like, one of the things that people think about, you know, sure, it's like Julianne Moore, incredible actress, like, long career in Hollywood, married to someone super hot. I always think that. Because I see that in the West Village. I see that Bart Freund. Like, and I'm like, oh, he's a beast. But
he really is.
Really, what people think about first is like, oh my God, that hair.
Yeah.
I've always thought of that because, like, my hair is that color, that same color. And so, you know, we've talked about this all the years that I've known you, Marcus. It's like, remember once I almost cut my hair the way that you had cut hers? Like, you would have been really short for me. It was like sort of just below the collarbones.
Yeah. Yeah,
Marcus,
yeah.
It looks so good. Should I do it? And you were like, don't do it. Thank God for you. But yeah, that was like after a red carpet season where maybe it was when she did the Tom Ford movie, you know, like when she was on every carpet and like nominated for everything.
Yeah.
And but you know her hair, right? So that's kind of easy going into it. But so for this particular, for Con 2022, what were some of the key products that you used? Were there any key tools that you used? Like, what defined it for you this season?
Well, you know, it was very hot this year, and not necessarily like in a Palm Springs kind of way, but the Mediterranean air really kicked in. So there was a humidity factor that I have curly hair myself, so I'm really sensitive to when it's in the air and I see what it does. And you have to think about when all that heat is on the red carpet. There's a lot of bodies on there. There's a lot of lights. It's just the flyaway factor, the frizz factor that as a hairstylist, you know, it can make a great image, not great with all that frizz, the undesirable frizz. If you're going with the look with frizz, that's one thing. But if you're going for something polished, which is usually the avenue of, you know, the hair world in Cannes, you just want to have that control. So it was on the humid side for the opening gala that Julianne went to. And we, you know, the dress was it strapless? No, it was a kind of a halter neck type of Bottega Veneta gown. And the hair was to be behind the shoulders, which then means you have like a really clean silhouette of the head and the hair and the body and the dress. So if you had the fuzz of the flyweight, you would have been distracted. So I used a blowout bomb on Julianne from Fido, that I felt really did control her. You know, she has mixed textured hair. She has some straight hair, but she has a lot of curly, coarse textured hair. Ooh. And for me, I knew you got to get it really good from the blowout. Like for anyone's hair, to be honest, like if you just rely on the curling iron and the hairspray, you're putting yourself into a tough situation. Like you got to get it good from the blowout. Otherwise, mm-hmm. the rest is like, good luck. So I used a blowout bomb from Fido that really did.
Was it the original defrisant? Do you remember the Fido defrisant, which was like Fido's like original product that everybody from like the 90s people loved it. It was like a cult favorite.
I wonder if it might have been or if they've just sort of modified it, but it's the anti-frizz blowout bomb is what their new title is. And I put that in wet. And I really didn't go too heavy because her hair will respond. So you kind of have to know your hair, but I know that whatever you tell her hair to do, it'll do. So I just put it evenly throughout from roots to ends. And then because I wanted the hair to not just be smooth and flat, I wanted it to have like a little lift at the root. So I used their volumizing blow dry spray. And that I've used that for like 10 years.
And that's for the root. Like you spray it into the root line. And
Section by section, guys.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Honestly, if you just kind of do peripheral, like on like the halo of your head, I'm sorry, but you're going to not give the product like its full potential of what it's supposed to do. You really have to be methodical and like have a system to applying product, whether it be the Fido blow-up bomb or the Fido volumizing spray. Regardless of what it is, mousse, oil, texturizing spray, it will give all corners of your hair like the best outcome possible, like the desired result that you want. So for like what I was saying was the volumizing spray, section by section, it doesn't have to be as if you're retouching your roots, kind of that minuscule of sections, just sort of 1 to 2 inch sections throughout the hair, depending on how much hair you have. And then take a wide tooth comb, comb it through, distribute the product really evenly. And then I'm really very, I'm very meticulous about my blowouts. Like I'm really making sure the moisture is out. Especially if there's moisture in the air, you got to get it out of the hair. Otherwise, Mother Nature wins in that one and you'll see frizz.
We don't want Mother Nature to win
And all those premieres are at like high noon. You know what I mean? They're like from like noon to like 2 p.m. blistering sunshine. These are not like 7 p.m., 9 p.m. premieres.
No. And I have to say, even if it's like an evening premiere, there's something about everything just sort of settling. Mm-hmm. And it's like the only time there's no humidity is in the middle of the night or the early morning. So to be honest, it's like you just have to have in your product arsenal everything that can control your client's hair. And sometimes a oil would work better. Sometimes a cream would work better. And I had all of that with her because I sort of reworked my day two look, which was deep side part, kind of flicked ends, very kind of south of France, easy breezy blowout look. And I use more of like a cream for that just because I didn't want it to be too high shine. I wanted it to just be like polished, you know, so it didn't feel like it was trying too hard. The Fido has like a moisturizing day cream that it's light, but it absorbs and it does the job. So it doesn't feel like you have to rework the product into the hair. But then in the evening, I use their baobab oil. I don't know how you pronounce
baobab.
It.
Baobab. Yeah, baobab.
B-A-O-B-A-B.
Baobab. Baobab.
But then with that, pump in my hand. I used the toothbrush, kind of smeared it around, and then brushed it so it gave it shine, but it also controlled the flyaways. And it cleaned up the polish around the face rim there. Because I did like a deep side part into a low chignon. So I just kind of used all those products to help shift and change what the hair needed toward the end of the day.
She does a chignon. so well. Like, it just looks so from her.
Yeah. How does she look like she has, like, a styrofoam ball in there when I know there's not one? You know what I mean? It's, like, that look of, like, it should be fake, but it's so nice.
By the way, you know what? Her hair, like I said, will respond. You back comb, like, you pull into a pony, you back comb several sections within that pony, you smooth it out, and it is literally like a portable styrofoam tube. And you just mold it and shape it. And so you're right. We did that for the Oscars the year that she won, and I was actually just as equally surprised, thinking, oh my God, who put the donut in her hair?
Yeah.
Really, this is the magic of red hair, you guys.
Yes.
It has that crazy texture and the thickness and all that. But so just jumping back for a second to getting the blowout right. When you're doing a blow dry, like, how much is it in the styling products versus the hair dryer versus the brush that you use? Or do you use a different brush depending on the outcome that you want? Like, all of these variables, and what blow dryer do you like to use?
You guys, I know this blow dryer is kind of like controversial in a way. You're like, is it really worth it? Do I need it? Is it just for professionals? Ever since I was introduced to the Dyson, that's what I use. To be honest, because for me, I work with hair that is, like, you know, very, very fine and straight to very thick, coarse, and curly, a la Natasha Lyonne. I need to have a blow dryer that can cover all of that. So for me as a professional, doing every single hair texture under the sun, I need that. And their diffuser is just genius. Yeah, it works. Even if you're not creating curls or waves, if you create a shape and you just want to mold it and then freeze it, you put that temperature on high, the speed on low, and you just freeze it. You, like, spray it, and you just, it, like, holds and hardens, but in a way that is exactly what you need it to do. So I use the Dyson. I love the Dyson. The brushes, the products, all of it really work together because, you know, for me, it's also like tension. It's how is it a boar's hair? Is it a boar's hair bristle combo? Is it a product that cocktails really well with another line or another product? Like, I'm really big on, does this product work only by itself, or does it kind of like the other products and work well together? You know, like, does the kid work well with others in the classroom? That's what I need. So really, it's kind of a perfect marriage of all three. And, you know, I do switch up the brushes. I love Olivia Garden. That's a new brush line that I just was exposed to with the Oscars. And Olivia Colman, the names I know, they kind of match. Their brushes are fantastic. And so I've been using a lot of their stuff. And what's the other one? Gosh, I went on a blank just now, but Olivia Garden is, like, my favorite. A Denman brush is really, it's like one of those classic brushes from, I mean, literally, like, the 50s. Like, old Hollywood, flip the hair over. If you want volume, those bring air into the hair in ways that other paddle brushes don't. So to answer your question, it's all three that work very well to get the blowout what you want it to do.
Interesting. And then, like, you know, you're in Cannes. You're there for, like, almost a week. Do you get to, like, enjoy some of the free time? Like, Travis, when you would go for us, you would go for, like, 2 weeks and report. And, like, I just remember hearing about all the fun parties.
Yeah, I would just, like, extend it a different week and pick a different parent to come out and visit me. And I was like, you're going to save a lot of money not flying me out at the end of the festival. Yes. So let's just keep me here a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely try to have some fun. Usually with any trip, like with Venice, I went to Venice, but then 3 days before I went to Positano. And I just feel like if I'm going that far, I need to have something that taps into, like, my inspiration and my life and my stories, because I feel like it's all balanced. And with Cannes, I did the same thing. I spent 3 additional days. Guys, I wanted to have it off, but then 2 of the 3 I ended up getting for work. So the intention was there, but I did spend time to, like, go to, like, a little town and explore this new restaurant that everyone, all my foodie friends, talked about. So I did stuff like that. I feel, you know, the party thing usually is on my radar. This year, it just was, I'm taking baby steps, getting back into the world of people and parties and all that. But to be honest, just the people watching on the quest set, the beach, the Mediterranean water was no joke, you guys. It was so beautiful. And I live in Los Angeles, so I have the ocean here, but there's nothing like the Mediterranean. So I was just so excited to have an afternoon to spend on the beach and, you know, just put the hairstyling on the back burner for a second and enjoy life as a hairstylist that gets to travel.
So much fun. You're so lucky.
Guys, I'm so lucky. I'm very lucky because I know that I could easily just be in one town. So I think I put it out there to the universe. I need to see the world as I get to do my job and create beautiful looks. And so, you know, manifest what you want. I try to do it every year.
Oh my God, totally. I try to do it every day. So now Riley Keough, did she go to the Elvis movie? I wonder what she thought of the Elvis movie. Because Riley Keough, guys, if you don't know, like, I mean, I loved her in that The Girlfriend Experience. Mm-hmm. I thought she was just absolutely spectacular. She's had a bunch of other huge star turns, but she is Elvis's granddaughter.
Yeah, she's a star. And also, won the Camera d'Or, which is, I believe, the director's award at Cannes. So she and her directorial partner, they did an amazing job on a story about the Native American story. I don't know much more than that, but it's a fictional story that was done so beautifully. She won a massively coveted award there. So as an actor, Whoa. She's winning. As a director, she's now winning. She too is now a redhead, and she's great. Got that. I know. I feel like it's like either I'm drawn toward it or they're drawn toward me. But I had 50 minutes to do her hair. And which is not a lot of time. The first time you work with someone, you kind of cross your fingers and toes and you hope for the best. But like, I have my products. I have the tools that I know that work. And fortunately, her hair responded very well to the day cream. And that was kind of it. But you guys, it was all about the blowout. I used the paddle brush and I smoothed it out. So
perfect. Perfect. Well, you know, one last question before we let you run, because I know you've got a busy afternoon. And of course, you know, Travis and I are always crazed. Dream celebrity. If you could style one person, dead or alive,
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Who would be your dream celebrity to style?
Oh, good. Well, I have two. One's alive and one is not alive.
All right. Give it to us.
Okay. So the one that is with us is Tilda Swinton.
Oh, yeah.
She's also, I believe she might be the queen in waiting at Cannes, because I feel like she's always there too. And she's serving like, I mean, avant-garde, gorgeous, mm-hmm. beautiful fashion. But then the hair, like she does not fear volume. Or right. texture or angles, which is why I think that she's so unafraid, which is what, as a fashion and style icon, what has drawn me to her. And then the one that is not with us is Rita Hayworth.
Oh, man, talk about the patron saint of all of us redheads.
I mean, I think she just lit up on the screen when I watched. I used to work at Blockbuster Video when I was in high school. And I, again, aged myself, but I would just dive into old Hollywood VCR, DI tapes, because I was so like, what is this? You know, back in basic TV, you didn't get any of that. So I really became a huge fan of Rita Hayworth as I was in high school. And I think she's just a legend. You know, I would have loved that opportunity.
They would set that hair before there were Fido products or any hairstyling products. It's like, what did they do? Rollers or Velcro rollers, and just like mm-hmm. on a wing and a prayer, let it sit and heat. See what happens. Like,
heat only.
It's crazy, right? I mean, the flips and the dance numbers that she would do, and then it would just be ready. It'd always be like close up ready. Even it's like, oh my goodness. So, I mean, I think there's something about the techniques that I'm always constantly going back to with what hairstylists did back in the day, and not getting so, you know, hung up on like a curling iron or this product that does everything. It's really much more simple than that. But I go back to the basics, and I love to see what kinds of things I can come up with.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
You guys, I'm so honored. Thank you for having me. You're amazing, Marcus. By the way. You guys are great hosts.
Oh, well, you know, we just could talk about beauty all day long. I mean, truly all day long. I'm not kidding.
I mean, especially redhead beauty.
I feel like we have rosé right here and like some trail mix, and it's like, oh, wow, we're at happy hour. But, you know, we're not. We're on a podcast.
Actually, we give that vibe. We give that vibe of rosé and trail mix, Trav. I like it. I like it a lot. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. For all the info, all of the beauty and style from Calm, go to usmagazine.com/stylish. We've got all the stories, all the pictures, everything you want to know about and see. Until next week, go to usmagazine.com/stylish for more celebrity beauty tips and tricks. all week long. And until the next episode, guys, please stay gorgeous.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.